Reverend or Pastor Frizzell is actually, he's been a chaplain for many years in Topeka, so some of you might know him, but right now he is a bereavement counselor, or a bereavement coordinator at Heartland Hospice, and he has served in various kind of capacities over at Topeka First Church of the Nazarene, and so I am eternally grateful that he is here this morning, but before you guys welcome him up, he has a video for you guys to watch.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? And so we're neighbors again today. I'm glad to be with you.
I figured that since the, you know, Fred Rogers is the craziest day these days, I'd invite the church to join. But isn't it good to feel like a neighbor? You know, you've been our neighbors ever since we've lived here in Topeka. When we first moved here, we just moved right over here, just a block away from Duane and Sid Armfield over on Prairie with my wife's brother and his family, and lived there for a full year. And they went to First Church, and I said, well, why aren't you just going to the neighborhood church? But they had roots there, and that's where we wound up, had roots there as well, and been there ever since. And they've had me do everything from clean toilets to wash windows and everything, but pastored for 20 years. Four of those was our children's pastor at First Church of the Nazarene, and I was honored when Pastor Brian asked me if I would speak for you today. Now, it's just amazing how God does work, and I'm sure Jeremy and his family would testify to that, and to calling them into some other venture and wondering where in the world that may be leading, and maybe you in your own life as well. What does God have in store as I'm sitting here worshiping? I had a whole sermon that I was getting prepared to preach, and on Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, I sent an email off to Chris and to Cindy, hold the presses. I think I got to go a different way. When I'm sitting here worshiping, I'm thinking, am I supposed to go back to where I originally was? What's God doing here? My theme today is life, the musical. And who better to represent that than Mr. Rogers? I mean, what does that song do to you? Does it make you feel like a neighbor? And you turn to somebody and say, I'm glad you're my neighbor. Yeah, he referred to himself more as a musician than anything else. He was an ordained minister, of course, an icon on children's television, but he wrote 200 plus songs and a couple of operas that he incorporated into his imaginary town. And he just loved music. He wrote songs that would uplift children, that would teach them about complicated feelings and thoughts. And he would affirm them that they could be brave and strong. With titles such as Children Can, Good Morning God, I Like You As You Are, I'm Missing Someone Badly. His show was basically a musical of sorts. He'd just break out in one of those songs and little vignettes throughout his little episodes of what he was trying to teach children. And perhaps we could learn a lot in incorporating background music into our lives. The assurance of God. What would your songs be? What would consist of your soundtrack? Some of these powerful worship songs and deep and thought-provoking phrases that assure us of God's faithfulness and how He loves us. I mean, God knows that music is important. Some people, if you look through the scriptures and study commentaries, they will try to convince you that the devil created music. You look through the Psalms, you look through the scriptures, oh, the music that God has instilled within the lives of His people. The Psalms that declare to praise the Lord with all the instruments, to sing and lift our voices of praise to God. He had a whole line of Levites that did nothing but sing. They were the worship leaders like Jeremy and the worship band. And I was glad to be here last week and this morning and see the power with which he leads and the band leads in the worship. Though I don't know all the songs, I know the Spirit. And the Spirit testifies where He is working and where He is moving. And our basic text for today declares that perhaps life needs to be more of a musical. Ephesians chapter 5, if you have your phone or a Bible there, I was not able to get anything incorporated into the program. It's been 15 years since I put together any sort of presentation that went up on a screen. I tried, but I learned that I'm getting too old. I'm out of practice. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives are to be a joyful song of praise and thanksgiving, first to God, then to one another, so that the world can see the joy, the life, the love, and the light of the Lord. Now, I was going to continue on with that thought, but I'm going to weave it together where God had originally had me thinking. Back in 2 Kings, the Arameans had besieged Samaria, and there was a great famine. And put this on your shopping list. The word says in 2 Kings 6, verse 24, sometime later, when Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized the entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria, there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels. Now, when's the last time you went shopping for a donkey's head? And a quarter of a cab of seed pods went for 5 shekels. There was great oppression in the city. And they were clamoring, they were crying out to God, to their king, to their leader, and this prophet named Elisha. And the king didn't like him too well, and he wanted his head on a platter. Then Elijah spoke up and told the officer that had come after him, look, this is what will happen. The Lord says, about this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel as well at the very gate of this city. Then the officer whose army the king was leaning on said to the man of God, look, even the Lord, if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? And Elijah replied, you will see it with your own eyes. And then the account goes on and talks about 4 lepers. 4 lepers who were living there around the city of Samaria. And they say there in 2 Kings 7, verse, my eyes, I need longer arms this morning. Verse 3. Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say, we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will surely die. If we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender, the enemies. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, we die. Doesn't sound like too many options for a good song, is it? The city besieged by the enemy. A great economic failure in their midst. The man of God, Elisha, prophesying and promising that it would turn 180 degrees in 24 hours. And then we're introduced to these lepers, wondering how in the world are they going to survive? If we stay here, we'll die. If we go to the city, we'll die. The famine is there. So what's their option? Let's go forward. Let's go to where the enemy thinks they have control. If they just incarcerate us, if they just bind us, we'll live. But they may kill us. You ever been in a tough spot like that? You wonder what God has in store, and there's no song in your heart? Unless you want to sing a song of Eeyore and just grumble and complain. If these men had stayed put, nothing would have changed. The famine was still around them. They had no one coming out to even throw out the trash. Everybody was holding on to what they could. In fact, if you read the intervening text, there was cannibalism. A lady brought another lady to the judge, because, or brought her need to the king because they agreed. Today, we boil your son. Tomorrow, we'll boil mine. She didn't live up to her part of the agreement. And the lady wanted justice. A horrible situation. But these lepers said, if we stay here, we'll die. If you stay put, church, you'll wither. We've got to keep moving forward to where God's leading us. We got to keep singing the songs of His praise and His glory, of His hope, of His faithfulness, and moving forward. And we can't do that when we're focused on the ways of the world. Like Jeremy said so fittingly, you know, our little tickets that say in God we trust, all others must pay in cash, right? We trust so often in the things of the world and not the things of God. We've got to trust Him, and we have to take the steps forward which He wants us to take. Because if we stay put, often nothing's going to change. In doing bereavement counseling, that's what I encourage people to consider. You don't move on and leave your loved one. You don't forget them. You never get over their death. You never leave your grief behind. You carry it with you wherever you go because you carry them with you. Because you love them. Their love is ingrained in your soul, in the fiber of your being. You would never want that love to dissipate. You carry them with you, but you don't stay in that grief right where you are. You keep living life. In fact, this morning as I was sitting next to Dwayne, my phone buzzed and I thought I had it turned off, and I looked at it and I received word from a volunteer. One of her dear friends, whose husband was on our service and died just 2 months ago. This lady's son-in-law fell off a ladder and died this morning. She doesn't leave that grief behind. She carries the grief of her husband and now her son-in-law and the burden for the heart of her daughter and her grandkids with her. There's no pat answers, but they must keep living and breathing and living life, though it's going to be put on hold for a while right now. When we're in tough times, we may need to sit, we may need to find repose, but we can't stay there. Sometimes we need that melancholy music to help soothe our souls, to help the tears flow easily. Oh, I remember when I was a teenager. Oh, I was a wallflower. Still am in a lot of ways. There were girls I liked, but I never had the courage to ask them to do anything. The songs I would listen and just let my heart swoon. Finally getting up the courage to ask a girl here or there out, and then having a girlfriend through my latter year of high school, first years of college, and then the breakup comes. You need some music to help the tears flow. Music does that. It touches our souls at levels that nothing else much can. It lifts us. It carries us. It reminds us. But we can't stay there. We've got to keep living and breathing in the Spirit and sing and make music in our hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These lepers, they didn't want to stay put. They knew it wouldn't get any better there. They said, well, what's another option? Well, we could go into the city. We could go back there. But the famine's there. We'll surely die. We can never go back to where we were. I have a friend out in Connecticut, Rudy Fasano. He became a project, I guess. He was the son of a lady who was a member of our church, and he started having interest in the things of God and spent a bit of time with him, probably too much. But picked him up one time, and he went to softball games with our family and to watch our girls play. And one time, he just vanished. And he went to the bathroom, and he came back toward the end of the game and said, Rudy, where you been? Nicky, I'm sorry, he had a brother named Rudy. Nicky, where you been? He said, oh, I ran into a friend I used to be a bouncer with not that many years back. And then Nicky leaned on the fence, and he said, you know, the older we get, the better we were. You know, we can't go back. We can remember, we can reminisce, we can share those stories. And we need to have that. If we don't know history, we repeat it. Not always the good stuff. God will bring us back to Him, but He will never leave us there. He will take us to where He intends to lead us, forward to His glory. He won't keep us where we are. These lepers said, we go back into the city, we'll surely die. We can't stay put. We can't go back. The option the lepers came to a conclusion was best. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, we die. 50-50. Sometimes it seems following God might not even be that good a proposition. I don't know what's out there, Lord. What's out there in the plains of Kansas for me and my family again? It's what happened 15 years ago. We didn't know what was in store. We wound up in Topeka basically because my wife's brother and family opened their home to us. They had kids about the same age as some of our kids, so they had cousins, and they had an in-ground pool. We lived with them for 11 months, and you know, we still love one another. That's a miracle. But we moved forward. And just as I was telling, I think I'm going to miss your name, Tim, the guitar player. Is that Tom? Told him I got a job with hospice and it was going to be temporary. It's been the longest temporary job I've ever had. But we couldn't stay put. We couldn't go back. We got to move forward. As it is all you've been facing. All the change in these last few weeks. The children's pastor's last Sunday last week. Jeremy's last Sunday today. The miracle of the money that you have dedicated to the needs of this congregation to get things up to par. Amazing. You're not sitting still. You're not going back. You're moving forward. Even when you don't know what's waiting out there. It possibly could be death for, as it was for the lepers. But they marched into the camp of the enemy. And listen to what it says. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. And they left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. And those men of those leprous men, they had a heyday. They plundered. But then they said, "We can't keep this to ourselves. We got to go tell our people so that they can enjoy the victory of God." And they did. And the king doubted. No, you know what those sneaky Arameans have did? They've made it look like they've abandoned their camp, and they're in hiding. They're waiting for us to come, and then they can attack us. So the king said, "Let's send some scouts." So they sent some scouts, and they found out it was exactly as the lepers had said. So they selected two chariots with their horses, the scouts. The king sent them after the Aramean army, and he commanded the drivers, "Go and find out what has happened." They followed them as far as the Jordan, and they found the whole road strewn with the clothing and equipment the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. So the messengers returned and reported to the king. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a seah of flour sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord had said to Elisha. In moving forward, they found the provision of God, even in the midst of a proposition that was only 50-50. You know, the thing is that the proposition of God, He's for us, not against us. "I know the plans I have for you," He declared, "for those who were in exile in Babylon. Plans not to harm you, but for a hope and a future. Put a song in your heart of glory to God." Our main text says, be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand the Lord's will and what it is. Don't get drunk on wine. Don't get caught up in the perspectives, the ways of the world. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want your life to be a musical of glory to God, of encouragement, of uplift to the others? Don't stay where you are. Don't try to go back to some other place, some other time. Go forward to where God is leading you, where He wants you to be, how He wants you to relate and connect to one another, the difference He wants you to make, not only in these walls, but in this community, just like you did with your trunk or treat. How many people came? 3,000? Was it that I read? Look around. You have neighbors who have joined you in that journey. Four lepers took a risk. They found the plunder that God had left before them. God said He would build His church on faith in Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. What's the song in your heart today, church? Is it "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine"? Join me, please. I need the help. "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood." You can have that assurance. You can have the hope. You can have the joy. Can sing a song, "Won't you be my neighbor?" There's hope in God. There's always hope. Following Him, not getting caught up in the ways of the world, not just in "God We Trust" on a little bill, but with your whole life. It's what Paul's saying here in Ephesians. Put the whole weight on God Himself. And speak to one another, building up, encouraging, not tearing down, that his faithfulness is great. It's beyond measure. It's amazing. It's beautiful. He's there holding on to you when darkness is surrounding you. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't his faithfulness great? Isn't his amazing, his grace amazing? He's put a song in your heart, people. He's put a song in this church. Keep singing it. Keep loving each other. Keep building up. Keep marching forward. Don't stay put unless the Lord said, wait. Gain my strength. Learn my will and my wisdom. Because I've got somewhere I want you to march forward. March to his song always in God's name. Lord Father, today I have no idea what your purpose was and is other than to bring glory to your name, which you did through the music. I know you did through your word that was read. Perhaps it happened through the preaching. I have no idea. Your spirit speak to our souls. But we do know, Lord Father, that you call us. You call us forward, as Paul said, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. I do it to win the prize for which he's called me heavenward. Let us be the church, let us be the people that keep marching forward to your tune, to the beat of your drum, and nothing else. For as we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Be with Pastor Jeremy and his family as the church that loves him, that he loves, that he's led in worship for these years. Embrace him and thank him and them and say our prayers be with you. Our support, our encouragement. And say even as Samuel, far be it from us to sin and not praying for you. Be for Pastor Shauna and the transition she's already endeavored in. Be with Pastor Brian and his leadership, with the board, with the people here. Oh, your faithfulness be known to them now and always, to the glory of God, to the deliverance of souls, forever and ever. Amen and amen.